can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, away we go on this lovely Thursday podcast. What's going on, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. Yeah, so Gina this morning, she was on the road for business, and she hadn't had coffee or anything, so she stopped by a McDonald's up in North Jersey to get a coffee.
Sure.
She sent me a video and still photos. There are no human beings in the part where the customers see.
Yeah, you do it on the board.
It's all videos.
Yeah.
It's all, I'm sorry, touchscreen, like you're saying.
A giant touchscreen.
And I guess the human beings are in the back making
working
the
and
food.
Getting the stuff ready, right.
She said it was very strange. I guess she had never come across that before.
I came across it in Virginia when we went for our baseball tournament over the summer. And we stopped. We were actually looking for a Chick-fil-A on the way home. And we just saw a McDonald's when we finally stopped. And I went in to get the boys their food. And it's exactly how it was. And you had to, there was a button to push at the counter if you wanted human help. And they would come, because while I was there, they did come help someone. But otherwise, there were two boards, but you could use either side. So it could help four people at once.
Okay.
And it is a little intimidating because it was, I don't know how this one was, but this one in Virginia was a very large screen that probably was as tall as I was. And you had to move the screen up and down with your finger and you had to pick sizes. Once you got it, it was cool. But yeah, another example of people losing jobs.
Yeah, like there were no other customers in the store the McDonald's, which was, I guess, what made it somewhat eerie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no customers.
Yeah,
I mean, that McDonald's, they really simplified everything, because years ago, I remember, the cash register and stuff at the McDonald's, well, if you ordered a hamburger, they pushed a picture of a hamburger.
Yeah.
Like on, it wasn't a touch screen. It was like a cash register, but instead of having numbers, it had a picture of a hamburger, picture of a French fry. And now, all these years later, they've advanced to this part.
Oh, yeah.
And then I guess a person brings your food out. That's not a robot yet, is it?
Not in my experience. I mean, again, I've only done this once or twice.
Yeah.
It was, you would do it. And it would give you your receipt and you would have an order number. And then on the screen where the menu is, it would say what order was being worked on. And if it was ready, it would come up flashing ready. And then you would go up. They would bring it to the counter and you would pick it up.
I did see a very small version of this. I don't remember where I was on. Maybe this was when I was in Indiana and we were traveling on a highway and needed to stop to get gas.
Okay.
And there was a convenience store. And in the convenience store was a McDonald's counter that was just the screen.
Right.
And then people come out and they'll yell the order 75.
I'll give you one even better. On the Merritt Parkway in Connecticut. I think this is still in Connecticut. It might be right across the border in New York. I'm not sure. When we went for the Travelers Championship and I brought my younger son with me, we stopped on the way up there because he was hungry, and me and you and him were having dinner that night, but it was noon, so he was hungry. So I'm like, listen, I'll stop. I'll grab you a bag of Chex Mix or something, whatever, and then we'll figure it out when we get up there. When we went in, it was brand new, beautifully done, and you go around the convenience store, and you get what you want. When you go up, now there's people working there, but they're not ringing you up. There's a tray. You put everything on the tray. And everything, I don't know if it's the UPC code, I don't know how it works, the tray calculates what you put on it and what you owe. And then there's a couple of people there roaming back and forth. If you have trouble, they help you. And literally within seconds, this is what you owe. And then it was so easy, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. We've seen that even, like there are some airports where you check yourself out.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And there's no people around.
Yeah. There's usually one person there in case there's an issue.
Right.
The one I don't like, and I haven't had the problem yet, but I'm sure at some point I will. Have you ever done the parking at the airport and then you go, you put the ticket in and then your credit card, like there's no one there.
Yeah.
And if that thing doesn't go up.
Right. What do you do?
It's bizarre. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't run into it yet. There's been a few times I've seen someone in a booth to the left or in a car, but there's been other times, especially when I get done with Rutgers at 2 o'clock in the morning or 1 a.m. when we land, and I got to get out, and it's like, there's nobody here. Like, what happens if this thing doesn't go up?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's too, everything's automated. Too much.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out, like, there's, I like going to the self-checkout in the supermarket, right? But there are certain ones, like there's a brand new ShopRite, or relatively new ShopRite, gigantic store. It's in the Belmar or Wall. I don't know what that's considered right there. And they have a self-checkout, but they've got the machine. They must be getting shoplifted so much that the sensitivity of the machine, if you scan something and it doesn't go in the, when you don't lay it down in the proper place and it doesn't weigh the proper amount, yeah, it's constant.
Absolutely.
So they actually have multiple people in this area because it's constantly needing help with the self-checkout machine.
Makes you wonder, why not just have them check you out then?
I actually feel like in this location that they thought it would be cool with the customers checking themselves out, realized very quickly people were ripping them off. Yeah. And they've got all these checkout, self-checkout sections because it's a new store. And now they're trying to...
It's easy to do.
...kind of police it.
Like Kim says, because she does the thing you do at Stop and Shop with the scanning as she goes.
Yeah, you scan as you go. And then when you get to the self-checkout, you just scan your scan.
And there's everything.
Yeah.
And she says, because I asked her, do they ever check? Because, you know, like me and you have talked about this. You could put the most expensive apples in your carriage,
right,
but then say you're just getting Red Delicious apples and then play dumb like, what?
Well, yeah,
apples.
That's what I thought these were, yeah.
Yeah, and you could get organic and just pay for regular.
Right.
There's a lot of ways you could save money or steal, whatever word you want to use.
Yeah.
And I said to her, like, how many times have you been checked? She thinks maybe one out of every 10 or 11 out of she gets spot checked. But that's it.
Yeah, I can tell you, I feel like I have not been spot checked in a while now. Like I'm overdue. I feel like I'm overdue for a spot check. And I love a spot check. It's like getting pulled over for DUI stops.
No, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have no problem.
Like, yeah, test me.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I got those. And I did bring those up as organic cosmic apples. That's correct.
I will tell you, the attorneys my mom used to work for told me a long time ago, if you were out, and even if you only had like one drink or whatever, and they ever want you to do the sobriety test, refuse it, but don't refuse it and say I'm not in. Refuse it and say I only want the breathalyzer. Like, because you can be between anxiety and being nervous in front of a cop, you could all of a sudden make yourself incriminate yourself, even though you might not have done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Just ask for the breathalyzer and be done with it. And if they don't have it, say I'll go to the police station then with you.
As opposed to what? Them doing like
the line
testing
and the thing and do the alphabet and all that crap, which will screw up a sober person.
Yeah.
Just ask for the breathalyzer. So, and I've been lucky not to have been pulled over in a while.
Same here.
When I used to work in Seabright, I used to have to go through a DUI traffic check almost. I used to do a lot of Saturday nights, 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. I told you this was when I used to sell all those cigarettes. And almost every Saturday night, somewhere on Route 36 North, coming from Seabright towards where we lived, almost routinely, there would be somewhere along 36 that I would have a DUI check. You know, so I haven't had one in a while, but they're out there.
Yeah. So I do feel like they need more checking of the Stop and Shop thing. Because I don't mind. They do it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
they just kind of grab random items and see if you scan them in.
Understood.
But,
and even that's not perfect.
No.
You know?
So what are your thoughts on this? I know we like to have technology advancing, Jerry. But now we're actually seeing no people in the front
of
McDonald's.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah.
I don't. There's something about human presence. You know?
Yeah.
Everything is very rapidly becoming very futuristic.
Even if I was in a fast food place and someone wanted to beat me up, at least I've got the kid behind the counter that could maybe call the police.
You got nothing now.
That robot, that iPad thing ain't going to call the police for me.
You're not kidding.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because I've been hearing this on a lot of different podcasts that I listen to, just this AI and the taking jobs and taking over and... Like, I do love advancements in technology. We all are the beneficiary of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point...
But at what end? Like, where does it end?
Yeah, how many jobs is too many things? And I've heard these crazy ideas that once all these jobs get automated, then everyone's just going to be paid a certain amount of money a year. And if you want more money, then you'll actually go to work.
What?
Yeah, I've heard that. Universal income, they call it. Like every person will be paid this much money a year to live from the government. And then if you want to do better for yourself, you will work a regular job. But if you don't, because these jobs are no longer going to be available, that you could just kind of hang out all day.
Okay. That's interesting.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
It does not sound like a good idea, no.
A society of stoners playing video games.
It does not sound like a good
idea. Yeah, it sounds like a terrible idea. But they're trying to say, like, well, how are all of these people that are going to be on Earth, how are they going to make a living if all of the jobs are iPads?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. And I don't think we're knocking on that door just yet, but we're not that far off.
Yeah.
You know, our lifetime, maybe. But you know, assuming this world is still spinning in another 50 years, it's going to look a lot different. I'll always come back to that Neil deGrasse Tyson thing. 30 years, 30 years, 30 years.
30 Say years. What?
If you take any point in time and stretch it 30 years, significant advancements. Then go 30 years from then, significant. You know, maybe just whatever. Let's say 1900 to 1904, nothing crazy. But 1900 to 1930, beyond crazy. 1930 to 1960, it's a different world. Maybe 1941 wasn't so crazy. But that was kind of as things were building and building. And he says the 30-year increments. And I think even in his book, I think he starts it in like the 1700s and takes it all the way up. I believe he goes into the 2100s, what he believes life will be like.
So in your lifetime, you would have three of those.
Hopefully, yeah.
If you live to your 90, you'd have three of those.
Periods.
Those periods,
time
yes.
periods, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, yeah. It
that
just
sounds about
if
right.
If you just take it from 1994 to 2024... You know, 1994, cell phones were really just getting going. The internet was primitive at best, dial up and all sorts of things like that. Now in 2024, the cell phones are now computers in our pocket, and the internet is the way of the world. You know, just that simple thing in and of itself. We have cars now that don't need engines; they run electrically. I mean, they need engines, but you know what I'm saying. The way a car is built so differently in 30 years. Or can be. It's yeah.
I always wish there were a way to go back in time and like the person who invented the automobile.
Flex capacitor.
Yeah, like I'd love to show that guy.
Yeah.
A Tesla.
Yeah.
Or whatever car today.
Sure.
I'd love to find the guy who invented basketball.
And show him what today's product
is. And show
is.
Him what we're doing today with it. The baseball guy.
You know, one that would be really different in an odd way and is less, sounds crazy, but is less violent would be the NFL. So, like, I think if you went back, let's say, 60 years and showed the guys in the NBA what the game is today, the players are bigger, stronger, faster, yes. The skill is better because they can shoot from further and they can dunk. So that's different. But other than that, the game is the game. You're still running up and down the floor. You still got to get it in the hoop. Maybe a little more physical, but in the regular season, I don't think it is. But it's basketball. Baseball at its core is still pitch, hit, run the bases. Some time periods, more home runs were hit. Other times, the pitching dominated. But it's essentially the same game. In football, with the rule changes, if you grab someone from 19... Remember the NFL films we always talk about? If you grab Jack Tatum... If he was still alive and showed him those Oakland Raiders and those old Pittsburgh Steeler videos and showed him the penalties that get called now and the way the game has changed, yes, it's the same in scoring touchdowns and field goals, but officiated so incredibly different. Much different game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and you're right. The equipment is much different.
Yeah, that too.
Basketball, of course, is barely any equipment, but baseball, there's a lot of equipment changes, but football is very dramatic from the early days of football.
Yeah, well, and I just mean, too, just what you can do around the quarterback, what you can do hitting a wide receiver. There was I don't know if you saw it on one of your social media feeds. They showed, who was the quarterback? I'm blanking out. One of these, like, journeyman quarterbacks, and he almost got his head taken off running to the sideline. And it was a yard out of bounds as he's running out, and the safety just said, "I'm a quarterback, I'm going to hit." There's no flag. He hit him out of bounds. He almost took his life. And it was like, just get up and let's go, next play.
Yeah.
Now you'd be ejected and possibly suspended for a hit like that.
Correct.
Very different.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting in looking to, like, what the future is with all this stuff.
Yeah, it is crazy.
And what we have now and what things we can expect. So if in our lifetime, I was born in 69, you were born in 74?
Yeah.
So you'd have 2004 was your first 30 years.
Yep. I would even try and take it from, like, when you're 10 years old. Start there because you start really having memories of things. So for me, I would say let's go 84 to 14, and then the next one would be 44. That'd be pretty nuts.
Yeah.
How about even just, all right, here's one, because we go from now to then, 94 to 2024. In 2024, you could have a flying object take picture-perfect, crystal-clear video, and you could have it instantly on your TV. In 1994, you were running around with a gigantic camcorder, and this huge videotape, and you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that difference. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah. I like it too. I like it because I'm curious where it goes, but then I also know as you get older, you're less likely to want to learn new things.
To adapt to it?
Yeah. Even though we grew up in an era where like, we had our full teenage years without this stuff.
Yeah.
And then adapted to it as we were older. So will that help us in the future adapt to technology because we're used to and knowing that it just keeps moving forward?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't feel like, while I'm not technologically advanced, I also don't feel like I'm a techie dope either. I mean, there's a lot I don't know about. But there's also a lot I try to stay up to date on. I'm not against any of it. If you brought me an app that was like really cool, I would check it out. I wouldn't be like, that's for the kids. No, that's not me. The only one I haven't gotten involved in is TikTok.
Yeah, same here.
And for no reason other than it's enough. And it's not a matter of not wanting to adapt. It's more a matter of, I got Twitter, the Instagram. I mean, how many of these are you
gonna... Yeah, things that'll waste your time, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to get away from it and not, again, to be unadaptable or to be the old guy, but more so, it just seems like it's too much and your attention's taken away from. And I don't know if you see this, but if you ever look at like older people have their heads in their phones almost as bad as younger people.
Yeah, that's very interesting to see.
Sure is.
I was been in restaurants where I looked over and a couple with white hair are both on their phones.
And not talking.
Yeah.
And not talking.
Like, what are they looking at?
I'm very curious, nervous, worried, whatever word you want to use. In another 9 or 10 years, what everybody's eyesight is like. Because these can't be good for our long term.
Yeah.
I feel like my eyes are deteriorating rapidly, mostly because of the phone.
Yeah, I believe that's true as well.
That's concerning to me.
And what's funny to me too is, you know, you can adjust the font on your phones, right?
Yeah.
And then you get used to it. And then you need like a young person like your son. Like when my niece sees my phone, she thinks it's hilarious. Yeah. And I look at her phone. She's got a whole text conversation going. I couldn't come close to telling you one word in there because like it's so tiny.
And you have glasses on.
Yeah, with glasses on. Yeah.
I know. I know.
So that's funny.
How about at the Craig event yesterday, the one guy, I don't know if you could tell, where he was reading his speech. You could see he had it on font 30, the print on the
print.
Paper.
Yeah, yes. I did see that.
I felt like I could read it from where we were sitting.
Yeah, the Buffalo TV sports guy.
Is that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Right, but he was turning pages so quickly because there was only a few words on each page.
It was like, thank you for having me, turn the page. This is an honor, turn the page.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. That was cool at that Craig event for the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. We saw, you know, men and women from like upstate New York,
because
it's all the New York State, not just all New York City. Mm-hmm. And there's like certain people, man, you can park yourself on a morning show in Buffalo and you could sit there for 30 years if you're good at it.
Build a nice life,
not have to
too.
Move.
Yeah. I've been lucky enough to travel the country first with Columbia, now with Rutgers, the Cowboys to some extent. and you end up in a lot of different cities, and in some cases, small cities. You know, Rutgers, I'm in East Lansing, Ann Arbor. That's not Detroit. I mean, these are suburbs, and you're not exactly very close to Detroit in those cases. But anytime I go to these, I guess you could make the case, too, for New Brunswick. People come in and like, oh, New Brunswick. But we're at least linked into New York City. Point is, Iowa City is a good one where I go. And you meet, like, the radio people. Like, the Iowa City, the Iowa Hawkeyes announcer, I believe has been doing games there for, like, 30 or 40 years. He is like a king. They had a day for him. One of the days Rutgers played there a couple of years ago, they had like his bobblehead for like 30 years of calling games. Dude got like a standing ovation. It's, yeah, man, you could be a king in it. What do they call it? A big fish in a small pond?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard from comedians that have been longtime comedians who are still doing it. Mm-hmm. And they talk sometimes on these podcasts about having to do local radio over the years. Like, sure. you travel and then... He's saying you'd go into these local radio stations where you don't know anything about these guys. You've never heard of them. And yet the influence they have on the town, because they're big stars in that town, and the next town over has no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And you have to go in there and kind of let them mock you a little bit, because you don't want to go back at them, because in that town, they are the guys.
And you need them to buy the tickets.
Yeah, and sell your tickets.
That's
really
interesting.
Yeah, it was really, really kind of cool.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
I always wonder, when you talk about like letting them mock you, so I saw like Kathy Hochul. She was talking to the press for something. I don't know what. It just caught my eye, and it brought up another idea that I had, because, you know, I listen to Joel Osteen from time to time. And so she's doing this media session, and I was probably a Trump supporter, I don't know, but he basically told her to get off the stage. She sucks. New York State sucks. And she's trying to talk and, like, you know, he's heckling her, but he was like angry. And then it made me think about comedians. Like, I saw the one with Jerry Seinfeld last week that was clearly not a supporter of Israel. And Jerry Seinfeld had to ward him off, and I thought he handled it great, and that was fine. And it made me think of like someone like Joel Osteen, who, and you're very familiar with him too,
mm-hmm.
who has, again, great positive messaging, but as I've said to you too, I think also very dangerous messaging too, because sometimes it's too pie in the sky that God's going to fix everything when too many people lose their lives in horrendous ways where God didn't help them. And I always wonder, like, how does he not get, like, no one's ever gone into that church and stood up and said, you're full of crap. Like, it's interesting to me what, I hate to use the word, but it almost feels cult-like with followers, that whatever he says, everyone's just going to give him a standing ovation. And you wonder, how did you get to that point? Because I would think, even if you did like a TED talk, for instance, about the power of positivity, that's it. Not God, not Jesus, not anything else. Just life will be better if you're more positive, because if you smile, how could it not be? I still think someone's going to stand up and say, oh, yeah, you know, car accident, this, that, two people dead. How is that positive? And yet this guy, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, there
to
are
me.
Certain people, I think, that have their devout followers and nothing they say is wrong.
Man.
I probably was that way with Howard Stern in the 90s.
Okay.
You know, where I believed everything.
Yeah, but that's because you were young and influential.
Although I have to say...
It wouldn't be you now.
It wouldn't be me now.
No.
But I do remember the... it's funny because Howard Stern just had Bruce Springsteen on again. And I remember the one thing... I like Bruce Springsteen. And Howard Stern in the 90s. I remember Trash and Bruce Springsteen. And I remember my mother going, oh, does that bother you? That I go, no, I don't care what Howard... I love Bruce Springsteen. I don't care what Howard Stern thinks. But that was like the only thing...
Where your two worlds collided.
Yeah, where I felt like we were not on the same page, being 1990s Howard Stern. Yeah. So I could see, you know, with a Joel Osteen type, especially someone with a religious background, that, like, but people are like that with their politicians, the people that are super into Donald Trump, that everything he says is correct.
That's true, yeah.
And then the opposite, people, no matter what he says, is incorrect.
That is, yeah. We're living that every day right now with all these people.
We love a good extreme.
Well, we got a lot of extremes in this country. There's no question. It is. It's head spinning too, because I get on my feed, and I guess maybe because I'm very much down the middle. I get a lot of pro-Harris stuff, anti-Harris stuff, pro-Trump stuff, anti-Trump stuff.
In the For You section?
I got to tell you, Al, I don't know what's real, what I'm looking at, who's lying, who's making stuff up, who's got facts behind it. It is, you want to talk about misinformation. Holy crap, are we living in the land of misinformation?
And now with the AI stuff.
What's
you
real?
You really don't know. Because I saw a great thing, and then the guy who posted it said, I created it, this is AI.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Aaron Rodgers after the Steeler game, blaming everybody except him.
Right.
He's like, if these guys would freaking catch the ball.
And it sounded great, didn't it?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. I know.
And it was hilarious. It was like, oh, well, yeah, that one interception, I throw right off Garrett Wilson's chest, so that's on him, that's not me. And I don't play defense, so it was so funny.
You know what? You just gave me a great idea for a new segment. Maybe we'll do it once a week. AI or real?
Yeah.
And I have to play something, and I'll try and I won't make it extreme. It'll be leaning towards extreme, but not crazy.
Yeah.
Like if I played Aaron Rodgers coming out if they lost to New England, and he said, I have no idea why we traded for Devontae Adams. He sucks.
Yeah.
We know he didn't say that. But if I created something like Aaron Rodgers saying, surprised Devontae didn't have a better day, expected more from him. That's kind of extreme, like, but not really.
Possible, right.
Possible.
Possible.
So AI or?
Real life.
Real. That could be fun.
I like that.
That would be fun.
All right, Jared, let's do the warm-up show. All we'll right. be back here on a friggin' Friday tomorrow. That's what I'm talking about. So.